Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Just starting college, the 101s were the ones you started with. And you know, sometimes it's good for us to go back to the beginning and even review maybe something that we knew and maybe have got a little fuzzy on, or we know it and we just need reminded, or maybe we never knew it, we just missed it. So it's always good to go back to 101 and why we believe what we believe. But you might say, I'm too old to go back to school. I am done with all of that. The only school I attend right now is the School of Hard Knocks. I'm amazed you laughed at that. Or for the kids and teens, they say, hey, Pastor Vicki, I go to school Monday through Friday every week. I don't need to go on Sunday. This is the weekend. Well, I promise you, kiddos, this class will be different than Monday through Friday school. And whether you think you're too old or you think school on Sunday is the last thing you want to do, let me put your mind at ease. Relax. This class is worth your time and attention, even on a Sunday. This class is not about cramming your head with head knowledge, but more so, it's about filling your heart with heart. This class will make you feel like a dummy. Woohoo! Right? Don't you hate, you don't like a dummy? Who doesn't feel like a dummy? Nobody likes that. This class instead will help you get to know friends in high places. More exactly, to know the ultimate friend and the ultimate and highest of places, who incidentally wants to be your friend. Oh, we've already talked about that today, haven't we? Yes, we said about that. The truth is, the text for this class, when applied to your everyday life, has the potential to powerfully make over every single part of who you are. And who doesn't love a makeover? Sign me up. So, take a seat, class. Oh, you're already doing that. Good job. Good job. How about pick up your Bibles, class? And let's go back to school for a little bit, my boy. Christianity 101, lesson one. Who is God? Does he even exist? Who is God? Does he even exist? Well, let me begin by telling you a story, a true story about me. I grew up in church, literally from birth onward. I was in Sunday school and morning worship every Sunday, Wednesday night worship every Wednesday, a week of revival twice a year, and pretty much every time the church doors were open, I was there. For the entirety of my growing up years, all through elementary school and middle school and high school, every time the church doors were open, I was there. And can I just say, thanks, Mom. Thanks, Mom, for taking me to church every time the doors were open. I seriously appreciate that about my mom. At this point in my life, I realized how serious she was about making sure I knew what was in the Word of God. Moms and dads, I know, Pastor Joe and I know how hard it is to wrangle those little children, to get them dressed and brushed and hair combed, but you can even skip the hair combing part, and get them in the car and wrangle them here. We know how hard that is. We did that Many of you have done that. I applaud you. I salute you. It matters. Some of you have had teenagers who go, no, I'm not going. Yeah. I salute you, moms and dads, for saying, get out of bed! Okay, get the covers off and telling them, get in the car, because it matters. It matters, and my story that I'm going to share with you this morning attests to that fact. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Back to the story. In my growing up years, every time the church doors were open, where was I, Maplewood?
At a church.
I was there. I was there at church. So, how is it at 20 years old and a college student living on campus full time, away from home for the first extended period of time in my life, I was asking myself those questions that I just mentioned. Who is God anyway? Does he even exist? I spent the first 20 years of my life in Sunday school and church and prayer meeting and revival, vacation Bible school, etc., 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 etc. And after all that, I'm asking, does God even exist? Seems like that would have come up just a bit sooner. Well, it didn't. It didn't. But at 20 years old, it did. And that's okay. It's okay if it comes up at any age. I was wondering, is God real? Is he really there? Is everything I've been taught really true? Why was I asking that now? I can't honestly say for sure, but I think now at 50 years old, I think it may have been a bit due to at 20 years old, I was really, for the first time in my life, starting to come up against and encountering big questions and big challenges that I didn't have the answers for. And you know, at 20, you think you have all the answers. And then when you're 50, you realize how dumb you are. But at 20, I thought I had all the answers, but yet here are these questions about God and about faith and about church. And I just did not have easy answers to them. I was out from under the shelter of my parents' home. I was on my own for the first time. These were my questions, and they were real and legitimate to me. I was learning that the world I was living in could be a hard place, a mean place, a disappointing place. I was questioning why so many bad things in the world seem to happen unchecked. You ever wonder that? If there's a God, where is he in this messed up world? I was asking at 20 years old. 20-year-old me was also grappling with my own list of wants, desires, wishes for my own life. My craving to be loved. It's not bad. It's just a human craving. And at 20, wow, I so wanted to be loved. I wanted to be appreciated. I wanted to be successful. I wanted to be beautiful. I chased after those things with great abandon while simultaneously experiencing quite a bit of guilt and disappointment for all the ways I felt like I fell short in those categories. And I would say, if there's a God, wouldn't he want me to be happy? If there's a God, wouldn't he want me to have all the desires of my heart? That's what my 20-year-old brain was asking. And to be brutally honest, at that time in my life, I was deeply and privately struggling with the concept of authority. I didn't get arrested or sent to jail, but I was struggling with anybody who might have more authority over my life than me. I would have never said it out loud, but I bristled at the idea of authority over my life that was greater than my own authority over my life. If there's a God, doesn't it seem like he's on some kind of power trip to run my life and everybody else's life? I mean, doesn't that seem not right? Just being honest, this is what I was going, what I was processing, what I was going through in my mind, and none of these questions had a satisfactory answer in my 20-year-old mind. Anybody here ever had a question about God or faith or the Bible that you couldn't find a satisfactory answer for? Yeah, your questions probably have changed from the time you were this age to that age to that age. But at 20, this is where my brain was. So day by day, I began to increasingly live my life like there was no God. Because at that time in my life, I decided there was more evidence against God's existence than there was for God's existence. If it was on a scale, I was definitely weighing heavier on the against God's existence. But remember, Maplewood, I had 20 years of Sunday school stored up in my memory bank. You just can't get away from that. Just saying. 20 years. Where was I? I was there. I was listening to the truth of the Word of God, and though I didn't embrace it as truth at 20 years old, I couldn't delete it from my memory either. So there was a war going on in my heart and mind, and I was living like there was no God, when in my heart, I honestly wasn't sure whether there was or wasn't. So there came a moment where there was a tipping point for me. Where do you think that tipping point was? So glad you asked. The tipping point was, get ready for it, a tree. Yeah. A little bit like this. A tree. Yeah, I know it sounds ridiculous. So I was walking across campus, 20 years old, from my dormitory to the music department, a walk I had taken hundreds of times. And it was a beautiful day. It was warm and sunny. There was a lovely, gentle breeze. And the trees on campus were just huge, big, towering, beautiful trees, and I'd admired them many times. But this walk was different. And these trees, they were full and they were lush and their leaves were rustling in the breeze. But they had lots of times. But this day was different. Somehow my ears heard something different. Somehow my heart felt something different. Thoughts were returning to my mind from years that had passed in my life already, and it was as if God himself said to me, Victoria, remember me? He didn't say it in words. He said it in wind. He said it in sunshine. He said it in the trees, but I heard it loud and clear. God said something like this, I'm responsible for this wind. I am responsible. I, God, am responsible for this sunshine. I, God, the great I am, I'm responsible for these towering trees. There is no one but me, says God, who can do this. How is that as an answer for your question, Victoria? And all those Sunday school lessons I heard in my youth about God, the Creator, and God, the Master Designer, were brought forward in my memory like a long-forgotten file folder that had collected dust, but now it's been put on the top of the stack for my immediate inspection. And at that moment, the scale of my heart tipped ever so slightly towards contemplating God instead of erasing him, towards remembering instead of forgetting, towards seeking instead of avoiding. And it was just a small beginning, but I remember it. I remember it. It was significant. It was the first small step of a long path back to faith for me, but it was a step of utmost importance, and it began with this foundational truth. There is much in this world that cannot have possibly come about by sheer coincidence or the hands of man. Amen. Let me say it again. There is much in this world that cannot possibly have come about by sheer coincidence or the hands of man.
Amen.
There has got to be a master designer. The kids' lesson today, I put the Legos into the pillowcase. I shook and shook and shook and shook and shook and shook and shook. I can shake them 5 times. I can shake them 50 times. I can shake them 500 times. Yet our minds, the adults in the room, we go, you're not going to get a ship, honey. Yeah, you're not going to get one. You're not going to get one. I just shaped that bag for 10 days, even a whole year, and I'm not going to get a ship, right? We know that's not going to happen. We know legitimately. So we really can't logically believe that the intricacies of creation were a product of just that. That may have been part of it, people. I want you to know. But there had to have been a creator. These are little kids creating. We're all made to create. There are some things on this earth that we can't say we created. Somebody did. And this was what was going through my mind. I can't logically believe that the intricacies of creation were a product of mere chance and circumstance. There has to be a master designer, said my 20-year-old college-educated brain. I can't even believe those Legos can make themselves into a ship, let alone believe how some of the phenomenal intricacies of this world could have made themselves without a master designer. Who made the trees in such a way that they soak up the carbon dioxide in the air and expel the oxygen which we need to survive? And who made us in such a way that we breathe in the oxygen that came from the trees and expel the carbon dioxide which the trees need to survive? Oh, it's a coincidence. Total coincidence. Who set our earth just the right distance from the sun? So that we're not too hot and we're not too cold, and it's just right to sustain life. Oh, that's just a fluke. Who designed the human body so that my cells and your cells know when we cut our finger? And immediately, before we even realize sometimes we've cut our finger, an army of white blood cells immediately flood to that boo-boo and start to repair the wound. We would all bleed to death from a cut on our finger if not for the design of white blood cells. That's by chance, right? Yes? No. That doesn't make any sense. If you don't think a ship can make itself by chance in a pillowcase, then how can we believe that white blood cells and photosynthesis of the trees and the solar system and a million other miraculous everyday things in creation came about by themselves coincidentally? There has to be a master designer.
Amen.
Logic demands it. The Bible confirms it.
That's right.
Genesis 1:1, I teach it to the children. You probably learned it if you've been around here for very long. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And you know what? People love to debate how he did it. You know what, folks? I'm just being legit here. I don't care how he did it. I just know he did. Yeah. It's okay for me if you want to talk about how long and how wide, you know. But truthfully, I know the limitations of my human brain, and I know I'm made to think and use my brain, but there are places that go too far that my brain can't understand. I don't know how he did it. If I did, I'd be God. God created. God is the creator. God is the master designer. He's the one who made all the natural world that we couldn't have possibly made. He's the one that's made all the natural world we can see and a whole lot of the natural world that we cannot see with our naked eye. From the tiniest of cells to the vastness of the universe, it was created and designed and brought about by a master designer. The Bible tells us that not only is God the creator of it all, but he's also the one that keeps it going. And to me, that's significant. That resonates inside me. Yeah, he made it. But he's also the one that keeps it going. I love the passage in Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. It says this, listen carefully. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He's before all things. And in him, all things hold together. Say it with me. In him, all things hold together. Say it again. In him, all things hold together. Are you getting that? Not only did God create it and design it all, but he also is what keeps it going year after year. He's what keeps it together. He's what holds it together day after day, hour by hour, minute by minute. God is the creator. God is the master designer, but he's also the sustainer of the universe. I believe God started my journey back to him at 20 years old with a reminder of this foundational truth, because he knew I wasn't going to get anywhere spiritually until I settled that in my heart and mind. Every element of creation around me was calling out the name of the everlasting God. I just needed to unplug my ears and take the blinders off my eyes. So now, on days when hard questions loom large in my life, in your lives, and those are real, people. Let's be honest, there are hard questions that we don't know the answers to. Because we're not God. On days when hard questions loom large and answers are not always easily found, God often returns me to this foundational truth that we read this morning in Isaiah 40. Do you not know my Lord? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. I know you get tired and weary, and sometimes you stumble and fall, but when you place your hope in the everlasting God, he will renew your strength. That's what the Isaiah writer says. Christianity 101. God is the master designer, the creator, and the sustainer of the universe. And that includes you. He designed you just the way you are. He created you for a very particular purpose. And he sustains you. Even when you're tired, even when you're weary, even when you stumble, even when you fall, even when you have a million questions and no easy answers, even then, God sustains you. God is my helper. The Lord is the sustainer of my life, your life. All of creation was designed to remind you of his creative power and presence. Think about that. All of creation was designed to remind you. It reminded me at 20. I've never forgotten it. And if I need a reminder of it again, all I need to do is step outside sometimes. And God reminds me, yes, I made all of this so you would know who I am. So you wouldn't have to wonder. All creation was designed to remind each of you of his creative power and presence. place your hope in Him and Him alone, the one who sustains all things. And He will renew your strength and sustain you.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.